71, verses 16 and 17. And these are the words that have been written. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. And I chose this passage to set our time up for sharing because within these words here, it is this testimony. With my mouth, I will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all day long. There's something about us expressing what God is doing, of his great love, his power. And to be able to do that, then it is this word of testimony, this word of what God is doing. That's what a testimony is. This is what God is doing. It's not my story, although it will include me. It's his story that he has included me in. And that's what I want for us to share. You know, the stories and the words are going to be spoken. Some of them may be what God has done, and people are on that side of what God has done. But that journey to get there has maybe not been easy. And what I want to remind us of is, as people share, this isn't about like, oh, I wish I could be like them. If they had more time, because I've only given each person 5 minutes. Oh, wow, yeah. If they had more time, they may tell you more of the journey and the difficulties of getting there. And then you'll be able to maybe relate more. So this isn't about somebody getting up and sharing about, oh, how great I am. This is a story. These are stories about how great God is in the midst of what we're going through. I like that part in the last part of it. It says, I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. And that's what we're doing. We are just wanting to be reminded of God's righteousness, of God's mercy, of his working, and he is working. I often say that God is up to something every moment of every day, and it's really our job to discover what that is and then to be part of it the best as possible in our lives. And so I got this idea of five for five, so five testimonies for 5 minutes. It's not mine originally. I'm not that brilliant. But I had a friend who shared. He says, yeah, their church does this. And I thought, this is great. And I want to do it here. Now, I only have four today. You that are up here can do the math that you get extra minutes. Mehdi, who is from Cape and Ray, he's sick and he can't be here. We'll hear his testimony next week. I don't want to miss out on that. So I only have four, so kind of five-ish, that are going to share. And so I'm gonna call up Carmen Smith to begin our time this morning. And we're gonna do this from time to time. And so I'll put it out ahead of time. And maybe you will say to me, "Hey, I have something I'd like to share," and I would love to be able to put that in to our time. So, Carmen, cool. You are up first.
Thank you. Okay, I thought I needed new batteries or something. I always laugh when Scott says 5 minutes. Like, okay, he who is faithful with few will be faithful with many. So maybe one day if I keep sticking to 5 minutes, he'll let me preach a sermon. I'm kidding. So when Scott first asked me if I would be willing to share, I was like, well, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. So I was racking my brain for a very specific encounter with like a non-believer that was like life-altering or some miraculous type of thing to share with you all, and I couldn't think of anything. And I was like, ugh, Lord, I got nothing to share. And he's like, I felt him just nudge me to talk about finances. And I was like, no, I can't talk about that. And he said, please be vulnerable. So I said, okay. So the last 2 years, God has been teaching me a lot. But within that, he's been teaching me what it looks like to rely on him fully to meet all of our needs, specifically in the area of finances. Over the last couple of years, we've had unexpected expense pop up all over the places. Vehicles, house, life just happens. I remember being on maternity leave and wishing I could be back at work to help contribute more financially. I felt so helpless. But every month, every expense got met. All the ones we budgeted for and didn't, and we never fell behind. We were definitely stretched, but not in debt, and all because we have a God who cares so much about every detail in our lives. As humans, we need something that we can control when things get hard or feel like they're out of control. For me, working as a hairstylist, that means booking clients. When you work on commission, you get paid when people are sitting in your chair. I remember one week in particular, I had looked ahead at my schedule and was so proud of the fact that my schedule was fully booked. I did a quick calculation of what we would make that week, and I had a sigh of relief because we would be able to pay whatever expense had come up at that point. The next day, I looked at it again, and I had a number of very large cancellations that week. I remember my heart sinking, feeling defeated, and I prayed, okay, God, you have to do it because I can't. And he did. So I share all of this because I want to remind you that it's so important to live in a position of hands open and surrender. We can't control the things that get thrown in our path, but God is the one who can carry us through. During all of this, the passage that keeps coming to mind is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And the title of it is, Do Not Worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry by saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God cares about the things. All he asks of us is that we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He will look after all the details. So when life gets overwhelming and you have no idea how the need is going to be met, you can pray, okay, God, you have to do it because I can't. Then leave it at his feet. Ask him to show you what he's up to that day and how you can participate to bring glory to his name. Hindsight is always 20/20. You will see his hand at work in the end.
Thank you very much. I've also asked Cindy if she would share. And I actually didn't even, other than one person, I did ask to kind of give direction of what I wanted. But so I don't know what each one of these people are going to share. Do you know what you're going to say?
That's very trusting of you.
I know it is.
Many of you know that my mom passed away about 3 months ago, and so I wanted to share with you a little bit about what God is teaching me on this grief journey. And if I cry, it is okay. That is part of my grief journey, and I'm starting to learn that spontaneously I will burst into tears, and it's okay. So I have a few things that I thought maybe would be highlights or things I could share. I have not been sleeping super well. I wake up in the middle of the night and often can't go back to sleep because my mind starts going about 100 miles an hour. And one of the things God has been teaching me in that is taking time to think about what I'm thankful for. And so as something comes up, what within that am I thankful for? And just sharing that with God. And sometimes it will be people that come up and I will pray for them. And so in the wee hours of the morning, I'm finding myself really being drawn closer to God. Sometimes a little annoyed that I'm not sleeping, but being drawn closer to God through thankfulness and prayer. I think often about priorities. We have no idea the day or the time that we will die. And so I feel often each day just kind of taking a look at what are the things I have to do and what are the things that are important. Those are not always the same things. And so trying to be really intentional about asking God to show me what it is I should be working on today or doing today. Where am I spending my time? Another thing God is teaching me is to be still and know that He is God. And that one is hard for me in some ways because I like to be really efficient. And I like to say, okay, I have this much time. I can do this and this and this and this. And so taking time to just sit and be is challenging, but so, so good. And in that time of sometimes just staring out the window at the rain falling down, hitting the leaves a certain way, it's time to remember. And I think where I'm at in my grief journey right now is just really wanting to remember wonderful things about my mom. And I thought I would share a couple with you today because I have a microphone. my mom battled with Alzheimer's for about 10 years. And as she got towards the last few years, like it just, it's not just dementia, but it really affects your whole body. And so we needed to do everything for her. We needed to move her from place to place with a sling and feed her and do everything for her. And I remember, I think it was even just in July, I was either helping to get her ready for the day or helping to put her to bed. I don't remember which one, but I remember saying, "Mom, you are loved." And at that point, my mom hasn't been able to really communicate for a while. She will say things sometimes, but they often didn't make sense. But I said, "Mom, you are loved." And clear as a bell, she said, "I know." And it was like just this, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for that memory that she knew she was loved." And bear with me for this next story. When Tim and I got married at a little place called Esperanza, we got married out on a field, and there was porpoises that went by during our wedding ceremony. And a little later that fall, we had a memorial service for someone, same place, and a humpback whale went by. And this summer, as we were sitting by my mom's bedside, I was thinking, "God, sometimes you have creation be part of these big events for us. That'd be really special." And so one night, as my sisters and my dad and I were walking around the block, a caregiver was with my mom. We were just getting some fresh air. And as we come back to the house, there are deer all over in the pasture next to the house. There was like 9 different deer, and I thought, as a gardener, that's really funny, God. Of course it would be deer. But my mom didn't pass away that night. And a couple days later, and I don't know if you'll remember this summer, I think it was a Saturday, there was the most amazing lightning storm I had ever seen. Like, it was just like flashes after flash after flash, like nothing I'd ever seen. And I was thinking, wow, God, like, that is amazing. Maybe he's doing some renovations, getting ready up there for her. But my mom didn't pass away that night. But a few days later, when she did pass away, my dad, my sisters, all of our husbands, all of our children were gathered around my mom. And I was thinking, that's really special, God. We're part of his creation. We were all together as she passed away, and just to be able to be together, spend that time together, we were even able to sing a song that I wrote for my mom. And so it was just a really special time. And so it's one of the things God is helping me through, is remembering those good times and finding joy in that, finding joy in grief. It's kind of an interesting thought. I want to leave with one last thing. One thing that's been really challenging for me is watching my dad. He's lost the love of his life. They were about a month short of being married for 52 years. And it's so hard for him. He is so lonely. In the pandemic, I started calling them every day because I couldn't be down. They live in the States, and I couldn't go across the border. And so since then, I've always called my dad every day. And so I get to hear how things are going. And sometimes it's really hard when I get off the phone with him because he's crying. And God has just put on my heart that he loves my dad. He loves my dad. And he loves me. And I'm super thankful for that. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that portion of your journey. I want to ask Terry to come up. Are you coming by yourself? Nope. All right. Yeah, sit down. I'm going to ask questions,
oh.
Maybe.
How
yeah.
am I supposed to follow that?
Whoa, it's not about following. It's just about your journey. Mm-hmm. And so as you probably, most of you are well aware, that Terry has traveled through cancer, and it's been 10 years. And a while ago, you were able to celebrate that, and we had the pleasure of being part of that. But anytime that you are given a diagnosis of cancer, it does kind of shake your foundation, I would think. Is that right?
A little bit,
yeah. But I wanted to know this side. Like, so you're 10 years past that time. Mm-hmm. You've been given a clear diagnosis. What has that been like for you?
You start.
I'm the emotional support animal. Before Terry had his blood cancer and his transplant, I used to harass him about the fact that he's so emotional he can cry at the drop of a hat. And as God loves irony and laughter sometimes, part of his issue with after his transplant, he developed something called graft versus host disease. That means the new blood cells that his body has made sometimes decide to attack different parts of his body, and that's an ongoing journey. And one of the main things that got attacked was his eyes and his ability to create tears. So he can no longer cry, but he can still get very emotional and have a hard time talking. So, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I wear the hat. I wear the hat because the lights, my eyes are sensitive to the light, and sometimes their fans are going, and so it dries out my eyes. So I don't mean to be disrespectful in church or anything like that, but have gone through this journey together, and God's been there all the way. And so this was 10 years, and so for 10 years, we've had to battle through things and different medications, and we go to the doctor in Vancouver General quarterly for a checkup. I get blood work done every month. And so now I think my journey is partially being an encourager. So I know there's a lot of you out there that are suffering and have cancer diagnosis and different things like that. And so you can be rest assured that I pray for you on a daily basis. What else? I would say that this is the love of my life and my rock. So without her, I couldn't have done, you know, anything. Basically, every year, my stem cell transplant was on July 29th in Vancouver General. And we found out later that the donor was from Germany. And so every year we have a little celebration, and it basically started with the 100 days of prayer. Can you explain that briefly?
So the first 100 days after a transplant are the most difficult, and about 50% of people don't survive the whole process. So if there are going to be complications, that's usually when it happens. So we decided that we would put together a prayer list for 100 days. And so we had friends and family sign up for 100 days, and they would pray specifically. Sometimes I would send out an email once a week. Sometimes it was daily if there were specific things to be prayed for. We saw a girl recently at a service this week who was the one person I always remember that prayed for the blisters on Terry's feet, because even a blister could turn into an infection in the wrong circumstance. And then the other amazing thing was that we had non-Christian friends that asked if they could be part of our prayer journey. And so I had good friends said, you know, we'd love to sign up, but what do we do? Like, do we have to go to church? Do we have to stop in the middle of the day and find a church to go? And so then I sent out another email and said, no, for those of you who are not familiar, you can pray anywhere, anytime. If you're eating good food, pray that Terry can actually eat food and enjoy what he's eating. So that has been an amazing adventure. And as God does, he often prepares us with our difficulties to then be an encouragement to someone else. So you will have noticed that in our bulletin, we've been praying for friends of ours, Mario and Kathy. He is someone I went to school with 30 years ago. We reconnected when we moved to the island here 6 years ago, and he has had a similar diagnosis in the last 4 months, and so he's gone through a stem cell transplant, but not doing so well. So we try to encourage them as best we can, but you could continue to pray for them.
So to get back to the German part of it, Every year on our celebration day, weeks before, I make bratwurst now, which is a German specialty sausage or whatever, and that's one of the things we serve at my celebration every year is bratwurst. And the other weird thing about having a stem cell transplant is that your blood type changes. So I went from
O positive
to B positive, and that's what I try to be all the time. So, anything else?
In this journey, I guess, where is God encouraging you? Where have you found the most encouragement in this journey? Oh,
gosh, that's a tough one. I just think in everyday life, I mean, one of the things that COVID did for us, we live in Nanaimo, mm-hmm. is that because you couldn't go anywhere, we walked everywhere with the dog. And we got to meet neighbors that we had never met before. So now on a regular basis, I pray for these neighbors that don't know Jesus, and hopefully one day they will. In the NHL right now, I guess it's because of the month of November, they advertise hockey fights cancer. Well, you know what? God fights cancer too.
Amen. Thank you.
One last thing. I've got three questions for you.
Okay.
Okay. Ripple chips or Doritos?
Ripple chips.
Apple juice or orange juice?
Apple juice.
Ice cream or yogurt?
Ice cream all the way. Thank you, Terry. And Muriel, thank you. So the last one, and Betty, when I gave her the little slip of paper when she was going to be on, she says to me, "I'm not last, am I? I hope I'm first." And I said, "No, you're first." "Oh," she said. So anyway, Betty, you're really not last, because I'm going to say something after you. So that's all that good stuff. Yes, yes. You know what I like about when I asked Betty, I said, "Betty, will you do this?" I think she said, her mouth opened and said yes before she even thought about it. And then it was like, "Oh, wait, did I really say yes?" And so public speaking is your number one gift. Yeah. She says, "I'm much better drinking coffee." But Betty, please share with us what God laid on your heart.
Good morning, Ocean Views Church. Yes, this is not my favorite place to be. I'd much sooner be in the kitchen making coffee. But anyhow, we've also been told that we're always to have an answer for the hope that is in us. And Jesus is my hope, so he's my answer. But anyhow, Vince and I have been, Vince, my husband, who's at men's retreat right now, so he's not here supporting me, which is not that great. But anyhow, Muriel, you were, and Terry, you guys were lucky. Anyhow, we've been a member of Ocean View for 46 years. I accepted the Lord as my Savior at Nest Lake Bible Camp when I was 11 years old. And that's near Prince George. My husband and Vince and I have been married for, it'll be 55 years on December the 27th. So through the ups and downs of life, we've stayed committed to the Lord and to each other. Our oldest son, Scott, was born with cerebral palsy, and that has many challenges of its own for everyone in the family. It limited our outings and limited a lot of things because he wasn't just physically capable of going on hikes or doing a lot of different things. But anyhow, we got through it all, and he's now living in Regina, working as a social worker, and he's doing awesome. His brother John, who's 3 years younger than him, is married and lives in Victoria with his wife Leanne, and they have four children. One is in England now at Cape and Ray. Another one is in Kamloops taking respiratology. And then they have two more at home, so, and they're doing well as well. We also adopted two girls in 1981, Colleen, who's unfortunately at just short of her 24th birthday, went home to be with the Lord because of cancer. And her sister, Karina, lives with her son here, with Karina's son here in Ladysmith, so it's nice to have them handy. In 1997, we started doing foster care, and eventually we had four permanent placements, three girls and one boy. We retired from foster care in 2015, but we continued to be mom and dad to those four children. Unfortunately, Sonia, our eldest foster child, died of an undiagnosed seizure disorder in 2020 when she was just 24 years old. Her sister Esther is doing well with her partner in Tofield, Alberta. But unfortunately, the two younger ones are on the streets in Nanaimo with drugs and all the rest that goes with that. So that's Pamela and Abel. We hear from them and we go out for a meal with them together, buy them a few groceries, but that's the extent of the support we give them. They know that we love them, and we just keep praying for them. That's our most important part at this time. Further to life's challenges, I've been dealing with sciatica on my left side. It was so bad at one point that I was mostly comfortable in a prone position. I wasn't able to walk. I was on crutches, and even that was painful. But with physiotherapy, massage therapy with Muriel, and most of all the pain clinic in Nanaimo, I'm relatively pain-free right now, as long as I behave myself, which isn't always that easy to do. I've had two treatments at the pain clinic in Nanaimo called radiofrequency ablation, and they tell me that it'll last for 6 months to 2 years. Mine lasted for 8 months before I had to go for the second one, so I'm hoping that this next one will be 2 years. But through the challenges of sciatica, Vince has learned to cook and do a whole bunch of household tasks that he never had to do before. and we continue to be a team with God as our pilot. When life gives us lemons, we make lemonade. And my favorite verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Thank you. I hope that as you've heard his story through different church folks, that it has been encouraging for you today. I think that, as I just spoke to, just took a few little notes along the way, and the part about trusting God in everything, even our finances, and sometimes that's not easy to do. Grief, God is journeying with us, and finding joy in the grief. Wow, that's good. Fighting cancer, community, God fights cancer. I like that line. And community is essential. That's what I picked up on. Community is essential. And I like that part that you and Vince are a team with God as your pilot. That is so good. And we have so much to learn from you and Vince, journeying together in all of life that you have and caring for the people that you have through that time. So I hope this morning been a little bit different, but hopefully encouraging for you. And we all have a story. And so maybe you would be brave enough, and you could be like Betty, who is not a public speaker, but to get up and to share would be great as we do this down the road again. Let me pray, and then I'll call it. As I pray, the team will come up, and we will sing another song together. So let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are, you look at all that we do, and you see it as important. You're with us through all in life circumstances. Lord, that we would find ourselves being willing to surrender every aspect of our life. And this would include our finances, Lord, our health, our relationships. Lord, we pray for our families and the trials and the struggles that many of them have. We would be reminded that you are with them. Lord, we think of Mario and his wife, and as they are journeying in their own journey with cancer, that things are difficult for them. God, they pray that they would clearly hear you and know you. Lord, each of us have journeyed in grief in some way, in some form. Some of it's through the loss of loved ones, and others it's through the loss of relationship. But you, God, are journeying with us, and that we would be able to find the joy in the journey of grief. And that is found in you. We thank you for your working amongst us, God. Continue to do that good work in us, to bring us to completion, that we would be found worthy to be used by you in our community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.